I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ankosia Yamwa. In the headlines, IMF attributes Ghana's economic success to effective leadership and knowledge of President Mills. Catholic Bishops' Conference urges Parliament to pass political transitional bill before December elections. Women rights activists call for an end to discrimination against women as International Women's Day is marked today. Ghana national ID cards impounded from nationals of Togo, Burkina Faso and Niger at Mitika border post in Boku in Upper East. Ministry of Food and Agriculture comes out with biological control agent for mealybugs affecting pawpaw plants. President Barack Obama urges Libya's transitional council to quickly organize elections, and Argentine transport minister resigns 2 weeks after a train crash that claimed 55 lives.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The IMF has pledged to further support Ghana following the government's prudent management of economic policies and programs. This, according to the fund, has made Ghana the fastest growing economy in the world. At a meeting with President John Evans Atta Mills in Blair House, Washington, D.C., the president of IMF, Christine Lagarde, attributed Ghana's economic success story to the effective leadership and knowledge of President Mills. Our presidential correspondent, Seth Ayia, reports.
The meeting between the government and the IMF took place immediately President Mills was welcomed to the Blair House. The IMF President Christine Lagarde described Ghana as a valued member of the organization. As a result, the fund will readily provide technical and other support to Ghana as the country's economy expands and new opportunities emerge.
We are certainly very pleased under the program that Ghana has with the IMF to see the good progress that have been made. We have a close cooperation. We do our reviews on a regular basis, and we are extremely satisfied that very good progress is being made and will continue through 2012. So the IMF is very determined to continue to offer that support. We know that thanks to this new commodities that are available in your country, there will be many more areas in which we can offer our technical assistance, and based obviously on the range of expertise and know-how of our people at the fund. And we do that because you are a very valued member of the organization.
Madame Lagarde commended President Mills' personal involvement and members of his economic team in creating fiscal policies that have engendered economic growth.
I would like to also express my great satisfaction with the good cooperation that we have had with authorities in your country. And this is in no small part due to your personal engagement and involvement in this cooperation. And clearly your personal economic and fiscal background is extremely helpful in that respect. You understand those issues and you appreciate the value of the good fiscal policies that have to be put in place to make sure that Ghana is on a strong path to growth.
President Mills said government is leaving no stone unturned to ensure that Ghanaians benefit from the $3 billion Chinese loan. He expressed gratitude to the IMF president for her support and understanding when the country needed the funds badly for the provision of vital national infrastructure.
There was a time when we needed your understanding and help very badly in connection with the Chinese loan. And I believe that every well-meaning Ghanaian was extremely excited and happy when we got to know that we had your support for this. We want to do the very best that we can so that our people can benefit from this facility.
President Mills will this morning lay a wreath at the Arlington Cemetery and proceed to the White House to meet President Barack Obama. From Washington, D.C., Seth Ayia reporting for Radio Ghana.
The acting director of public affairs at the Electoral Commission, Christian Owusu-Pari, says the commission has already started training officials who handle the biometric registration on March 24. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Pari said officials in charge of the data have already been trained. He called on all Ghanaians to be vigilant on the registration day in order to reduce the incidence of minors and foreigners registering.
The commission has already started training the officials that will be used for the biometric voter registration beginning the 24th of March. Indeed, there are various categories of officials to be trained, and we started the training of the officials that will train the data entry clerks sometime last week. We have finished with the training of the trainers for the officials, and we are beginning the next phase of training for all categories of officials. And if I say all categories of officials, we're referring to registration officers and assistant registration officers, and then registration assistants. Their training will begin this Saturday. We're going to train the trainers, and then the trainers will go and train the grassroots officials from next week, Tuesday.
Have there been any challenges with regards to the training?
Well, the only category of officials we have trained so far are the key trainers for the data entry class, the officials that are going to work with the biometric equipment. We didn't have any difficulty in training the key trainers of those who are going to work on the equipment, because they already have some knowledge of IT. They are mostly experts in the field, and so there wasn't much difficulty training them.
So what role is expected of citizens who are qualified to register now?
We have always maintained that the equipment cannot tell a minor from an adult, and at the same time, it is incapable of determining who is a Ghanaian citizen. And so we will require the vigilance of every Ghanaian to ensure that people who do not qualify to register as voters do not by any means find their way onto the voters register.
Acting Director of Public Affairs at the Electoral Commission, Christian Owusu-Pari, a research fellow at the Political Science Department of University of Ghana, Kwesi Jonah, said the biometric registration should be considered a shared responsibility. The Ghana Catholic Bishops' Conference has called on Parliament to pass the Political Transition Bill into law before the December 2012 general elections. The Council has also demanded that the passage of the bill be followed up with the establishment of necessary institutional framework for its implementation in the January 2013 transition process. It said the chaotic and rushed through handing over experience in January 2009 that has left in its wake too many uncertainties to date in Ghana's political realm must never be allowed to repeat itself. This was contained in a statement read in Tamale by Most Reverend Philip Name, Archbishop of Tamale Diocese, to launch the Council's project on the 2012 elections dubbed Cast for Ghana's 2012 elections. We bring you a news desk report.
The project, which is being implemented with support from Star Ghana and NGO, seeks to sensitize Ghanaians on the forthcoming biometric voter registration exercise, lobby Parliament to pass the Political Transition Bill into law before the December elections, and work for peace to prevail before, during, and after the elections. This is to demonstrate the commitment of the Bishops' Council to play its role in the clarion call from its November 2011 communique, which called on the Electoral Commission to implement biometric voting system for the December elections. The statement also called on the Electoral Commission to apply full biometric system for the 2012 elections. It said the Bishops' Conference will work with other advocacy groups to achieve this goal. It called on all political parties to accept peaceful dialogue as a means of resolving conflicts, especially those arising from electoral disputes. The statement urges citizens to reject misinformation, suggesting that the biometric equipment is injurious to human health, and called on all qualified Ghanaians to register when the exercise begins later this month.
A news desk report. The chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kuja Ferijan, has assured the nation that adequate measures have been made for the success of the biometric registration and verification system. He said though the process is costly, the EC is prepared for the task ahead. Dr. Ferijan made this known at a meeting organized by the Institute for Democratic Governance, IDEC, in Accra. The meeting was to afford the Institute the opportunity to compare Nigeria's experience with Ghana's perspective. Mary Atule was there for Radio Ghana.
The chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Afarijan, noted that although it is the first time Ghana will be using a biometric voters register for election, the system has been tried and tested in other African countries. He mentioned countries such as Burkina Faso, Sierra Leone, Tanzania and Nigeria as having successfully gone through the system. The EC mentioned that for their biometric verification to be effective, vigilance will be needed in the operation of the machine and on the part of voters.
What we are going to do will be biometric verification of the voter. We have collected your 10 fingerprints. We will take those 10 fingerprints to the place where you registered. So it's very important for you to go to the place where you registered. The day of the election, you will go and there will be another machine, not the same machine, and you will put your hand on the machine and there will be an indication as to whether you are Ramadan or not. But it will be good. It means that you cannot really slip through. If the register is clean and you have to use your biometric information to access the ballot, then it's going to be very difficult for anybody to cheat. However, let me emphasize that it is human beings that operate machines. Let's assume that when you put your hand on the machine, if you are there, it's supposed to indicate green. That when you come and put it there, it indicates green, I say no, it's red. Or when it's red, I say it's green. So the machines themselves cannot, vigilance will also be needed.
The chairman of the Independent National Electoral Commission of Nigeria, Professor Muhammadu Jiga, shared the Nigeria experience.
A report by Mary Atule. As the world marks International Women's Day today, women's rights activists have called for an end to discrimination against women. The executive director of ARC Foundation, Angela Dramina Boaje, said even though Ghana has the right policies and legislative framework on women, more needs to be done in order to empower them. Mrs. Boaje heard this on Radio Ghana's Current Affairs program, Behind the News.
We have a very good policy and legislative framework, generally speaking, for women's empowerment and gender equality. We have several laws on our statute books. We have reformed many of the archaic laws. We now have Human Trafficking Act, Domestic Violence Act. We have a good thing going for Ghana. However, the flip side of it is also a sober reminder of the fact that women have not been treated fairly across the ages. There's been discrimination, there has been marginalization, there has been exclusion, and there has been abuse when it comes to being compared to men generally across the world. So it's a very significant celebration.
We have identified social cultural system and structures as hindering efforts to improve on the lot of women. How have we fared?
When it comes to the sociocultural issues, I think that's where our greatest burden is. The reason being that, you see, our culture is largely patriarchal. There isn't a lot that is done for women when it comes to sociocultural issues, particularly in the way we view them, in the way we treat them, and in the way in which we enable resources to also reach them. So our greatest, I think, as a country, is the fact that we carry these cultural norms, values, and beliefs that have been imbibed over a long period of time, and it's affecting all our institutions.
Agenda activist Adolf The Queen says the country should come together to resolve the difficulties women are confronted with. This, he said, will aid in development and also bridge the gap between men and women.
I think we need to be more concrete in terms of what we want to do. It is not women's problem. It is a national problem, and each and everyone is affected one way or the other by a woman's problem, quote unquote. So if we could get to a stage where we appreciate that it is our problem, it is not women who have gotten their peculiar problem that we are asking them to do for all of us as spectators, that we are all active participants in resolving whatever difficulties women confront, then we'll be making a headway.
So the theme for this year is Empower Rural Women, End Hunger and Poverty. So how do we advance rural women's status to end poverty?
We need to expand opportunities for literacy across board in rural communities. We need to provide services. What I think should be done is to open up rural communities using innovative means to make sure that services reach rural women.
The health advocacy manager of Oxfam Ghana, Rosemi Akola, says politicians should develop a policy that will link and empower women in rural areas. She called on men to support women to achieve greater heights.
More and more women are beginning to understand that they have some space. They also have a voice. But there are a few gaps that I've identified that I think it's important that we as Ghanaians will try to address, and come next year, we should be able to say that, yes, we are celebrating Women's Day because we have been able to fill in these gaps. And I would want us to look at the assertiveness of women. Even though these platforms have been created for us and the opportunities are there, you can see everywhere in adverts. There's no advert that it would include women are encouraged to apply. The assertiveness of women, I think that women, we need to build our capacity to be assertive. Because you give a woman a position, a woman doesn't still have enough courage to be more assertive, to do what she's supposed to do. It's the involvement and inclusiveness of our men. Because most of our men are very supportive, but I'm telling you, the larger population are not so supporting women, and it doesn't encourage our colleague women to take up challenging jobs.
South Advocacy Manager of Oxfam Ghana, Rosemary Akola, talking to Agatha Samoa. The tax liability of construction pioneer CP came under scrutiny at the Public Accounts Committee sitting yesterday. The Commissioner General of the Ghana Revenue Authority, George Blankson, says the commission detected in 2005 that CP had a liability of about 280 Dutch marks as well as 300,000 Ghana cedis, but the matter had to be referred for legal advice due to other developments. He told the PAC that his agency could have acted on this, but a team conducted forensic audit in the ministry took over the matter. The National Council for Islamic Education Unit has appealed to government to recruit more Arabic instructors to solve the problem of the acute shortage of instructors in the country's Islamic schools. The council said a big gap has been created due to compulsory retirement, resignation and death of some Arabic instructors, which needs to be replaced by government. The chairman of the council, Sheikh Ibrahim Basha, made the appeal at the 8th National Conference of the Council in Tamale. Correspondent Saka Mohammed was at the ceremony and filed this report.
The Islamic Education Unit was inaugurated in 1987 to facilitate Islamic education in the country. The unit has a national council aimed at formulating policies and programs for it. According to Sheikh Basha, many classrooms are left vacant and there is a need for a remedy to that effect. He also appealed to government to review the decision of the National Service Secretariat to exclude Arabic instructors from the National Voluntary Scheme. This, he said, was meant to augment the deficiency that has bedeviled the unit in terms of the worrying numerical disadvantage. Sheikh Basha urged the Vice President John Dramani Mahama to fulfill the promise he made to the unit that it will get its share of the Get Fund project annually. The council chairman noted that education is the civil right of every Ghanaian child, and this has been unconditionally endorsed by Islam since time immemorial. He explained that knowledge has been globally acknowledged as power, and history emphasizes that no nation thrives in ignorance. Sheikh Basha said, since the inception of the Islamic Education Unit, schools under it have always lacked universal and uniform syllabus that will ensure that all schools under the unit study the same thing. The general manager of the Islamic Education Unit, Khalid Baba Yaya, and teaching Muslims to monitor the activities of the youth, since the activities will have an impact on their future. He advised Muslim youth to work hard, saying that nothing good comes easy. If I said the unit since it started 25 years ago has made some successes. He said the unit has 1,714 middle schools, 4 public senior high schools, 12 private senior high schools, adding that plans are far advanced for the unit to establish tertiary institutions in the country. He announced that the unit will be celebrating its 25th anniversary this year and called on all Ghanaians to join hands with it to ensure a successful celebration. The Deputy Nadi Regional Minister, Sam Nasong Asabidi, said peace is not only the absence of violence or war, but also involves poverty and insecurity among others. He said the youth must learn to adhere to peace, since their future will depend on their present role in nation building. He said as Muslim scholars, their voices must be neutral so that people can take their teachings on peace seriously. He said as the 2012 election draw near, their role as Muslim leaders will be significant towards peace in the region. From Tamale, Saka Muhammad for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: IMF attributes Ghana's economic success to effective leadership and knowledge of President Mills. Catholic Bishops' Conference urges Parliament to pass political transition bill before December elections. Women who rights activists call for anti-discrimination against women as International Women's Day is marked today. Ghana national ID cards impounded from nationals of Togo, Burkina Faso and Niger at Mizigah border post in Boku in Upper East. Ministry of Food and Agriculture comes out with biological control agent for mealybugs affecting pawpaw plants. President Barack Obama urges Libya's transitional council to quickly organize elections. And Argentine transport minister resigns 2 weeks after a train crash that claimed 55 lives. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. The Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture has come out with a biological control agent to control mealybugs affecting papaya plants. The bioagent, which is in the form of an insect, feeds on the mealybugs and multiplies within a short period to all areas of the farm. The head of the directory, Vespa Suglu, said the bioagent, if applied effectively, will assist Ghana to regain its position as the fourth largest papaya exporter in the next 2 years. Mr. Suglu was addressing papaya farmers at Bodriase in the central region. Najagli Agu Father's report.
Papaya, popularly known as pawpaw, is a fruit that is produced both for export and domestic consumption in Ghana. However, its production is constantly challenged by the persistent attack of insect pests, both on the field and in storage. The director of the Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Vespa Suglu, noted that in 2009, the infestation destroyed about 85% of cultivations, while 1,334 employees in the sector lost their jobs. It also reduced export level by 65% as compared to the previous years. Mr. Suglu said the mealybug, if not controlled, can threaten food security since papaya for private consumption will be scarce on local markets. He appealed to farmers to assist the directorate in multiplying the bioagents in order to cut the cost of spraying insecticides.
The government that orders the from outside multiplies them in its facilities and identify sites that are hot spots for the mealybug. So we lead them to do control for every farmer. So it is for free. The only thing farmers have to do is to assist us in sending the parasitoids from where they have been to other farms for free for others.
A papaya farmer, John Ojo in Kansa, whose farm was used for testing the new mealybug control, spoke on its effectiveness.
I think it's going to do an excellent job. Well, from what I've seen on my farm, it will do a 99% clearance. Very, very efficient. And it costs saving too. It means you are not adding, you're not spraying chemicals this time. They are naturally clearing the mealybugs from the system. I'd advise farmers to be very patient to see the lasting results of the Acero. Acero is slow, and when you have enough patience, eventually you get the desired results. And I must say, it saves you cost, and also health-wise. I mean, now you're not spraying chemicals, so health-wise, we are improving our health.
Mr. Nkansa commended government and the Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate for their timely intervention.
Na Jabli Agu reporting. Ghana Immigration Service officials at the Kulungugu and Misiga border post in the Boko municipality have seized 586 Ghanaian national identity cards from nationals of Togo, Burkina Faso and Niger. The identity cards include the new national identity cards, voters' ID cards and the National Health Insurance Scheme cards, all of which were illegally acquired. The officer in charge of the Kulungugu post, Samuel Amachichi, disclosed this in an interview with the GNA at Kulungugu near Boko. He said most of the foreign nationals use the NHIS cards to access health care in Ghanaian health facilities. Mr. Amachichi advised travelers, especially Ghanaians traveling outside the country, to ensure that they have acquired traveling documents to avoid harassment by security officials at their destination. Prosecution in the trial of Christian Asendake says an official duplicate docket is being forwarded to the Attorney General's office for advice. ESP Abraham Anoto, the Circuit Court in Accra, presided over by Justice Audrey Kokuvite yesterday, that the procedure is to vary the previous docket at the High Court and the current one. He indicated that part of the case was heard at the High Court in Accra when it first broke out and several arrests were made and the accused persons tried. ESP Anoto subsequently asked for a two-week adjournment to allow the prosecution to complete its investigations. The defense was, however, of a different opinion in respect of the adjournment. Raymond Afaruba, who is with the defense, said it was in view of the long delay in procedure that his side requested for bail at the court's last sitting. Mr. Afaruba said under Article 19 of the Constitution, bail is allowed in the circumstances of delay. The court noted that the prosecution may want to follow due process because it may be considering the case as one of its high-profile trials. The case will next be heard on the 19th of this month. We'll be back after this.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. Argentine Transport Minister Juan Pablo Xavi has resigned 2 weeks after a train crash that killed 51 people. Mr. Xavi said he was stepping down because of ill health after having an operation for a heart condition. A transport minister had faced severe criticism over the train crash in Buenos Aires, which highlighted long-standing problems in Argentina's railway system. A judge investigating the accident had ordered him not to leave the country. Mr. Xavi said his decision to stand down was based strictly on health reasons after he had a heart operation on February 29. The train crash on February 22 is the worst in Argentina in decades. President Barack Obama has held an unannounced meeting with Libya's interim Prime Minister Abdelrahim Al-Kib and stressed the need for elections to go ahead in June. The White House said President Obama applauded the Prime Minister for his leadership during Libya's democratic transition and his government's efforts to rebuild the country. President Obama stressed the importance of transparency and engagement with Libya's newly energized civil society as the government develops accountable institutions. President Obama and Prime Minister Kib also discussed security issues and cooperation on border management, weapons security and regional counterterrorism, and the U.S. leader noted the efforts of U.S. forces in winning Libya's liberation. Now, to end the news, the main points again. The IMF has pledged to further support Ghana following government's prudent management of economic policies and programs. This, according to the fund, has made Ghana the fastest growing economy in the world. And President Barack Obama has held an unannounced meeting with Libya's interim Prime Minister Abdelrahim Al-Kib and stressed the need for elections to go ahead in June. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana in Accra.